Well, hello everybody, Pastor Adam here. It's been a while, I know. We've been traveling and doing ministry overseas, and we had another grandchild, and just been busy, but here we go. Let's go to the Lord in prayer before we get into this today. Father God, thank you for today, and we ask, Father God, that your grace and mercy continue to surround us, that your judgment be gentle but true, and that your Son, Jesus Christ, reign in our hearts. That we do everything, filter everything through what your word tells us, Father God. Give us a hunger to know your word the right way, with the right translation, Father. Lead us, Lord. We thank you in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. So I titled this today, Have You Heard? And I wanted to share some news that you will not find listed on your Twitter account or your TikTok or your Facebook or any social media account you have, or it's not even listed in your smartphone somewhere. It's not on your birth certificate or included in any of your, you know, report cards through your life. And even if you consider yourself a devout Christian, you probably have not been led to believe what your intended eternal destiny is. I think many of us realize the Bible is our instruction manual, and without the Bible, you know, and within the Bible is this secret about our life now and for the future. Our Creator had this in mind for us way before any of us were born. See, people, there is a divinely ordered plan that is so glorious that many have a hard time absorbing it, and therefore they tend to not believe it when they have heard these scriptural truths shared with them. So, a question for us as we begin today is, will we be willing to make some changes in our lives once we hear the reality of our destiny? Okay. So, right off the bat here, are you aware that the Holy Scriptures tells us it contains a divine secret? There are references woven throughout the Scriptures mentioning this divine secret. For instance, there are terms and phrases like this: God's secret, God's secret wisdom, God's mysterious plan, the secret that was hidden from everyone, the secret of the good news, the mysteries of God, and the mysteries of the kingdom of God. And listen, like I always say, please, please do not take my word for it. Research this yourself. Let me just throw out a few. Colossians chapter 1, verse 26 says this. That is the mystery which has been hidden from the past ages and generations. Romans 16, verse 25 says, according to the revelation of the mystery, which was kept secret since the world began. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 7. No, we speak of God's secret wisdom, a wisdom that has been hidden, and that God destined for our glory before time began. That was just three scriptures that are from what Paul, the epistles of Paul. Let's just look at what Jesus says about this. Are you aware that when Jesus was asked, why do you speak in parables? You know, why don't you just clearly state, Jesus, what you want people to know? Jesus's answer, he said he was purposely hiding his message from the vast majority and intended it only for a few at that time. Let me just give one example of Jesus discussing why he hides the meaning of the secret of the kingdom. And this example I'm going to give is recorded in three different gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. Okay, so three different people, and it's about the parable of the four soils. So in Matthew chapter 13, verse 11, Jesus answered and said unto them, about this question, why doesn't he share it with everybody? He says, because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. Mark records it this way in Mark chapter 4, verse 11. And Jesus says to them, to you is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God, but to outsiders, everything has to be explained by parables. Then in the book of Luke, he records this conversation in Luke chapter 8, verse 10, like this. Jesus said, "The knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of God has been given to you, but to others I speak in parables, so that though seeing, they may not see, though hearing, they may not understand." In other words, folks, Jesus said he was taking deliberate steps to conceal the secrets and hide the mysteries of God's kingdom from the masses, but he was revealing them only to his closest followers at that time. Well, I contend this is a pattern found earlier in our scriptures. I mean, to me, it sounds like what is in the book of Daniel discussing Nebuchadnezzar's dream. In Daniel chapter 2, verse 21 and 22, here's what scripture says. "He giveth wisdom unto the wise and knowledge to them that know understanding. He revealed the deep and secret things." Okay, and then later on in that very same chapter, Daniel explains the dream's content to King Nebuchadnezzar. And then here's what King Nebuchadnezzar declared after hearing this from Daniel in Daniel chapter 2, verse 47. Nebuchadnezzar says, "Truly your God, Daniel, is the God of gods, the Lord of kings, and a revealer of secrets." So I just, you know, this is part of the thread that is woven throughout scripture. Here, let me share another version of this thread where Paul was personally, he's sharing that he was personally selected by God to reveal what had previously been concealed. In Ephesians chapter 3, verse 9, here's Paul says, "I was chosen to explain to everyone this plan that God, the creator of all things, had kept secret from the beginning." And then Paul made this request to those that are listening to him at that time, to his brothers and sisters in Christ, to people who have heard the good news and have accepted Jesus Christ and proclaimed Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Here it is in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 19. He says, "And pray also for me, that freedom of utterance may be given me, that I may open my mouth to proclaim boldly the mystery of the good news, the gospel." Now, remember this saying I always tell you? The old is the new contained, and the new is the old explained, right? The Old Testament contains the New Testament, and the New Testament explains the Old Testament. For instance, Colossians chapter 1, verse 26, "The mystery of which was hidden for ages and generations from angels and men, but is now revealed to his holy people, the saints." What is that? What is this overall message? What is the secret? That Christ in you is the hope of glory. Now, this divine secret was hidden from everyone since the beginning of time. But once we have it revealed, we then can trace its origin. So look here. Let's go down this path. In John chapter 1, verses 1 and 2, the book of John chapter 1, verses 1 and 2, the scriptures there start with, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God." Now, okay, let's not take anything for granted. I want to just ask a couple of very basic questions that we probably all asked at one time, or if you haven't, maybe right now you'll like to hear this. Here's the questions. Who is the Word, and who is God? And how can both of these figures be called God? Now, first off, we've got to understand that throughout Scripture, God is described as being a spirit. John chapter 4, verse 24 says, God is a spirit. Okay, there's other scriptures, that's a theme throughout the scriptures, right? So God is a spirit, but you and I are made, or could say formed out of the ingredients from the ground. That's why our flesh and bones returns to the dirt, because we were dirt. We were composed of dirt. God is composed of something other than the matter as we know it. Jesus himself says in Luke chapter 24, verse 39, "For a spirit does not have flesh and bones as you see that I have." Okay, so Got to get that established. Then here's another key point to assist us in figuring out who is the Word and who is God. And that's that the English word that we use, God, right? We say God, that is translated from a Hebrew word that is not singular, but it's plural, which means there's more than one. In the first book of our Bibles, Genesis, the word God is translated Elohim, which has a plural meaning. It's very consistent with what we just read in John chapter 1, verses 1 and 2, right? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. Now, if that is hard for you to comprehend, I want you to just think about words that we use all the time in our language. Words like team or company or family. Now, they each sound singular, but they have a plural connotation. I hope that kind of clears things up. So, who exactly is the Word? The Word refers to the Spirit-composed being who actually did the creating. In John chapter 1, verse 3, that continues. Here's what it says. All things were made through Him, and without Him, nothing was made that was made. So what it's getting at is just a little bit down the timeline, right? This Creator God, the Word, left His place in the unseen spirit dimension of heaven to live as a regular physical human being and went by the name Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And how do we know that? Am I just picking that out of thin air? No, we know it because the Bible tells us this. In John chapter 1, verse 10 says, He was in the world, and the world was made through Him, and the world did not know Him. And then also in John chapter 1, verse 14, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we saw His glory, glory as of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. So the Word, right, it was Jesus all the way back to the time before creation. He was simply known as the Word. And Jesus was not alone in the beginning. There's someone else referred to as God the Father. Woven throughout the New Testament, there are phrases such as God the Father or God our Father, and they are often in a sentence with Jesus, so there's a distinction between those two, right? Again, the Old Testament contains all of this, but the New Testament reveals all of this because it's not meant to be a secret anymore. It's time to reveal the secret to everybody. In fact, in Galatians chapter 1, verse 1, Paul says, it's written here, Paul, an apostle, not sent by men, nor appointed by man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised Him from the dead. And then in the book of 2 John, chapter 1, verse 3, grace be with you, mercy and peace from God the Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father, in truth and love. Or further down, just a few scriptures later, in 2 John chapter 1, verse 9, scripture says, He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he has both the Father and the Son. Now, Jesus even tells us about some of the old pre-creation existence with His Father. In John chapter 17, verse 24, Jesus is speaking and He says, You loved Me, talking to His Father. He says, You loved Me before the creation of the world. And Jesus asked His Father to return Him to the glorious state they both had before the world was created. And earlier in John chapter 17, verse 5, here's Jesus speaking. He says, And now, Father, glorify Me along with Yourself and restore Me to such majesty and honor in Your presence as I had with You before the world existed. I mean, I think we just tend to gloss over some of these things. I mean, instead of really understanding, I mean, this is so profound and it's vitally important because this should help us to understand and reveal this mysterious divine secret. So, what we now have been able to establish is that God the Father and Jesus Christ, referred to as the Word, are both Spirit-composed beings who have been together, together before the universe was created. And I'm saying all this so that we can understand that many times when we read the word God in scriptures, right, in our Bibles, it's actually, that word is referring to a family. Ephesians chapter 3, verses 14 and 15. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. And this, so this God family decided a long time ago that they were going to increase their number, that like it's like they said, we're going to have children. It tells us this right in the beginning, Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. Then God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. I mean, has it sunk in yet? The Bible, the Holy Scriptures, declare at the beginning of the Scriptures that the God family includes more than one person. And that group, that family, said they were going to make man in their own image according to their likeness. Everything created before this was manufactured according to its own kind, according to what Scriptures tells us, right? I'm talking about after all the plants, the trees, the birds, the fish, all the animals were created after their own kind, God began a whole new category of creation. His next creation was man that would be made not after a plant kind or an animal kind, but after the God family kind. I mean, that was the reason for the God family to say, let us make man in our image according to our likeness. It's not complicated. In fact, to me, it's extremely simple. The God family is having children. And when you and I, when any person receives Jesus Christ, right, that they believe in him, they confess out of their mouth, believe in their heart, Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, right? That Jesus lives in us. We are born into that God family. We are what the Bible describes. We are born again. See, our spirit, because now we're born in the God, we're a spirit now. Our spirit was dead, but it's born again when you confess Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior and then go down that path. Because the God family is a spirit and they made man in their image. All throughout the Bible, Scripture refers to God's obedient people as the children of God, who will become partakers of the divine nature, endowed with and sharing the glory of Jesus Christ, right? Elevated above the angels to judge angels and the citizens of the world, who will rule and reign alongside Jesus Christ and even sit down on the very throne of the creator of the universe. That's what 1 Corinthians chapter 6, 2 and 3, that's what I'm, here it is. Here's what 1 Corinthians chapter 6, 2 and 3 says. Do you not know, this was Paul writing to the Corinthians church. He's kind of scolding them. He's trying to get them to wake up and grow up. So many of us today need to get this. Do you not know that the saints, the believers, will one day judge and govern the world? And if the world itself is to be judged and ruled by you, are you unworthy and incompetent to try such petty matters of the smallest courts of justice? Do you not know also that we Christians are to judge the very angels and pronounce opinion between right and wrong for them? Your very own Bible says that. I tell you, we got some growing up to do. Come on now. Look at Colossians chapter 1, verses 25 through 27. Paul writing to the Colossian church. Here's what he says. In this church, I was made a minister according to the stewardship which God entrusted to me for your sake, so that I might make the word of God fully known among you. That is, the mystery which was hidden from angels and mankind for ages and generation, but has now been revealed to his saints, God's people. God, in his eternal plan, chose to make known to them how great For the Gentiles are the riches of the glory of this mystery, which is Christ in and among you, the hope and guarantee of realizing the glory. Oh my gosh. And why? Why has this secret been revealed? So that all of us can believe and obey. Romans chapter 16, verses 25 and 26. Paul writing to the Roman church, and he says, "Now to him who is able to establish and strengthen you in faith according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery of the plan of salvation, which has been kept secret for long ages past, but now has been disclosed and through the prophetic scriptures has been made known to all the nations according to the commandment of the eternal God, leading them to obedience to the faith." Oh, hallelujah. In other words, this divine secret is mind-boggling, glorious destiny for those who believe in and accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Admit you're a sinner, believe in Jesus Christ, and confess Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. The scriptures clearly say once we are born again, we are the offspring of the Creator, of God. Acts chapter 17, verses 28 and 29. Here's what it says. "For in him we live and move and have our being, as certain also of your own poets have said, for we are all also his offspring. For as much then as we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the Godhead is like unto gold or silver or stone graven by art and man's devices." Right? Or Matthew chapter 5, verse 9, Jesus is speaking, and this is what he said. "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God." Romans chapter 8, verse 14 says, "For all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God." Romans chapter 8, verse 16 says, "The Spirit himself thus testifies together with our own spirit, assuring us that we are the children of God." John chapter 1, verse 12, "Yet to all who receive Jesus Christ, to all those who believe in Jesus' name, he gave the right to become children of God." Galatians chapter 3, verse 26, "For you are all sons of God through faith in Jesus Christ." There are many more verses which contain the phrases children of God and sons of God contained in our Bibles. What I'm trying to hammer home today and what I'm trying to get at is the Bible doesn't have a problem declaring what we are and what we're intended to be. Now, got to say this. Some of you right now, you may be aware that there are those out there that say what I just shared is false teaching. I think we really have a problem renewing our minds to the reality of what we become once we are born again, because we're so stuck in this flesh mentality. We know how unworthy we are. And sadly, too many of us want to stay like low-life worms after we've confessed Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Folks, according to the Word of God, we are unique in all of creation. We are called the children of the Most High God family. Now, some of you right now may be going like, "Whoa, whoa, whoa, wait a second, Adam. I can't walk through walls like Jesus did, so how can I be a member of the God family?" You know what? That's a very excellent point and a great question. Even though the Bible declares obedient believers are part of the God family, not all the benefits are immediately available and visible just yet. See, there's a waiting period before everything takes effect. We are like a prototype once we're born again. We are a type of alien. You know, I think many of us, we're pilgrims. We're aliens here. The Bible puts it this way in 1 John chapter 3, verse 2. "Dear friends, now we are children of God, and what we will be has not yet been made known." So even though in a blink of an eye we are children of God, we are also told we have not yet been shown what we're going to be in the future. In other words, at some point, we're going to become something that our mortal flesh and blood bodies don't allow us to be at the present. Well, when does this metamorphosis begin then, is a good question. And what will we become? Well, I don't think we have to guess. I think we should look to the Bible for the answer. And let's start in the second part of that very same verse in 1 John chapter 3, verse 2. Here's the second part of that verse, 1 John chapter 3, verse 2. "But we know that when Jesus appears, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is." So the scripture tells us the moment things change for the better. The Bible says, when Christ comes, we will be like him because we will see him as he really is. So that's when we're going to become like Jesus, glorified, made of spirit, no longer flesh and blood. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 51 and 52 says, listen, I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep, but we will all be changed in a flash, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed. Or 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 16 and 18. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel and with the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. After that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so, we will be with the Lord forever. Therefore, encourage each other with these words. I mean, folks, regardless of what you had going on when you walked in the door today, this hopefully will encourage you. And I'm not finished. I want to share this last part. Psalm 82, verse 6 said, the psalmist writes, I said, you are gods and all of you are sons of the Most High. Now, that's not a mistranslation. The word gods right there in Psalm 82, 6 is the same Hebrew word Elohim that was used for God in the book of Genesis when we were first introduced about the God family. Because we are designed as children of the Most High God. We are the offspring of the divine God family. And I think this is extremely critical. So listen hard. This does not mean in any way, shape, or form that we become God the Father or Jesus Christ or the Holy Spirit or that we are somehow superior to them. They are the original, distinct, individual members of the God family and will always remain in charge over everything, including us, all of us that are brought into the family. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 28 says, then when all things are under his authority, the Son will put himself under God's authority so that God, who gave his Son authority over all things, will be utterly supreme over everything everywhere. It's talking about delegated authority. Look, I want us to just look at Psalm 82, 6 and look how Jesus himself directly referred to that scripture during this discourse that recorded in the book of John, chapter 10. Now, it's kind of long. I'm going to read all this, but this is what's going on here. And John chapter 10, verses 24 through 36. And Jesus is going to use Psalm 82, 6 in this discourse here, all right? So then here's what scripture says. John 10, starting with verse 24. Then the Jews surrounded Jesus and said to him, how long do you keep us in doubt? If you are the Christ, tell us plainly. Jesus answers them, I told you and you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But you do not believe because you are not of my sheep, as I said to you. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all. And no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. Then the Jews took up stones again to stone Jesus. Jesus continues by answering them, many good works I have shown you from my Father. For which of these works do you stone me? The Jews answered Jesus saying, for a good work we do not stone you, but for blasphemy and because you, being a man, make yourself God. That's why we stone you. Jesus answered them, is it not written in your law? I said, you are gods. This is where he's quoting Psalm 82, 6. Jesus continues, if the Creator calls them gods to whom the Word of God came and the Scriptures cannot be broken, do you say of him whom the Father sanctified and said into the world, you are blaspheming because I said, I am the Son of God? Holy cow. I love Jesus. I get it that this could come across disjointed and confusing. So let's just make sure we understand and explain what's going on here. Jesus was telling everyone that he is God. He's telling everyone that he is a member of the divine Elohim family and that he is bestowing immortality on people he calls his sheep. Now, this upsets many of the Jews at this feast. It's during this feast that today is called Hanukkah. It's called the Festival of Lights. It's Hanukkah, okay? So what Jesus is doing here, he's sharing with them the law which was already on the books, right? What consisted then of what the Bible would have been called when Jesus walked the earth is the Pentateuch, or the first five books, Genesis, Exodus, Numbers, Leviticus, Deuteronomy, okay? Then as well as the prophets and the Psalms. That's what they said was the law. So Jesus is saying, if the Creator God called those people gods in Psalm 82, verse 6, and you Pharisees and Sadducees certainly know that scripture can't be broken, then why are you accusing me of blasphemy because I said the very same thing? Right? If God's calling us gods, right? So Jesus is letting these so-called religious leaders know that they don't even understand their own scriptures. Because in fact, they should be calling themselves sons of God as long as they believe in Jesus. The Creator of the universe had already declared in unbreakable scripture that human beings are God's children if they receive the Son. That's our divine destiny. In your own Bible, God has called you part of the Elohim, the Hebrew word for the God family. Folks, people, the great test of every one of us is not preaching what you've learned, but living what you preach. The future is so much more phenomenal than what most people have been led to believe. That's the divine secret. If Lord, help us to change our disobedient ways, become obedient to Jesus. We have the tremendous opportunity to be quickened by the Holy Spirit that dwells in us to be changed into glorious, immortal children of God. That's our intended glorious future. Just repent and overcome and set your mind at ease. Embrace your precious, awesome destiny as a divine child of the Most High God family. God bless you all. Until next time.